Allison Rosen.
Hey everyone, it's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is your new best friend. On Monday, I was joined by Emily Gordon from the Indoor Kids.
I like talking about tampon stuff with guys lately because it never occurred to me how little they know.
Yes. This was actually something that came up on your podcast and I was thinking, you're so right.
Yeah.
Let's traumatize Gary.
Oh, I like that idea.
Although he might know.
You yeah.
ask him your question.
Okay, so this is a question that, not even my idea, but that I've been, you ask. It's fun to ask for ladies
like
to ask at parties.
Parlor game.
Yeah, it's a good party game.
This is
going to
go well.
How long do you think women should leave tampons in?
Did Gary get it right? You'll have to listen to find out. And on Thursday, Chris Laxamana and I got to the bottom of a very important topic.
They're actually braces, not suspenders.
What is the difference?
Suspenders are like, they're skinnier and they have clips. Braces, you have to have buttons in your pants, like special pants. They're
sort of like a...
What Larry King wears are braces, like those thick straps, or like what you see like cops wearing, I guess, are braces. Suspenders are like the skinny...
Right.
Skinny straps, so...
But they both serve the same function, to allow you to play ska music. Subscribe to Allison Rosen as your new best friend on iTunes, or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours. Theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, man. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks so much for joining the show. Thanks so much for telling a friend and sharing the good news with a good doctor, baby.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Good
to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
How you feeling, man?
I'm back. I'd say I'm all back now. I didn't realize how screwed up I was after that surgery, but I'm feeling like myself finally.
Well, let's talk about a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting couple of thoughts today.
Really?
At least I deem them interesting.
Then they are.
Yeah. First off, you know, there's this whole Richie Incognito thing, this bullying in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, how do you bully a 6'5", 300-pound guy? But you can bully anybody because it's kind of an emotional thing. And then he left the team. But there's, to me, this falls under the heading of, we love to do this. We go, oh, this guy had a roommate, and this guy found out his roommate was gay, and so he started bullying him, and he jumped off the George Washington Bridge. End of story. That's the story.
That's the story we've told ourselves.
Yeah, that's how the news cycle works, and mm-hmm. we move on. And he found out the guy wasn't bullying him, and the guy had psychological problems, and nobody just jumps off a bridge if they're bullied. Otherwise, right. We'd all be dead.
Right.
No one would make it out of high school.
Right.
The people that kill themselves because of bullying.
So when Ray had Chris shit in his hand mm-hmm. and slammed that shit into your ear and called you shithead, was that bullying?
Well, the thing that's insane is whenever they read the transcripts or something, everyone just sits there with their mouth agape, you know, like, oh my God. And then I realize the stuff we used to do to each other.
Forget the transcript. Just describe it.
Right. I will run you down just a quick list of, you know, Ray isms and Chris and all those guys. As you know, I had a marshmallow that was fully engulfed in flames.
It's like a torch.
When a marshmallow, when you light a marshmallow on fire, it makes a noise. Like it pops and crackles and it's fully engulfed. And as I was holding it above my mouth, sort of playing like I was a fire eater, he pushed it into the side of my face where I had the...
Well, to be fair to Ray, he was trying to get it in your mouth burning.
No.
To be fair.
He just wanted it to see a flaming marshmallow stuck to the side of my face.
I think he was trying to push it in your mouth. That's the crazy thing. He's trying to get your throat on fire.
He's thrown a pocket knife at me, and it's stuck in my knee. I remember that time. And this isn't just him. Other folks, we used to do stuff like... I should write this down in the bullying department. Matt, let's get a running list here. My neighbor Eddie was riding me. I was on the handlebars of his bike while he was riding me down the street. Back in the day, you'd sit on the handlebars and the guy'd be riding down the street. He decided to do something called ghost riding the bike while I was on the handlebars. So while I was on the handlebars, he launched a bike with me just sitting on the handlebars.
Well, that's funny.
There's Ray taking a shit just inside my door of my room on the floor so my dad can walk in and find it. There was...
What did you tell your dad, dog?
I don't know.
What did your dad...
This is one of the times I was gleeful that my dad and I never have discussions about anything. Because this is one more...
I'd turn inward, too, if I were your dad.
Not having any conversations with your parents, you know... It's a double-edged sword. I mean, it seems like a bad thing at first.
Until your friend shits in the hallway.
Until your friend shits in your fucking bedroom, and then you're glad not to have that corridor of communication.
Literally, strangely, a corridor is what's blocked with the shit, strangely enough.
I've had everybody I had a guy just – I don't know who it was. It was possibly Ray, possibly my buddy Jeff. I don't know who. Just open up and just pee on my mattress. Just empty their bladder on my mattress onto my bed. Could have been Chris.
But how about Ray shitting in the hat?
I lent Ray my Rams beanie. When I asked that he return my Rams beanie, he had shit in it and handed it to me like a bat. Like he handed me like the people who clean up after their dog when they're hiking up Bronson Canyon and hold, you know, that bag. That's how he handed it to me. Like that move right before you drop it into the garbage can, he handed me my Rams beanie that he'd shit in.
What did you do with it as you grabbed it?
I didn't know why. You know, of course, I found out that he shit in it. It was my fault for asking for it back, I think.
But what did you do? What was the next move? We've never gone past the moment of reception.
I wasn't throwing away a Rams beanie.
How did you dispose of the... Not at that point.
Well, first off, you know how rare things like with team logos and things were at the Corolla house?
Corolla house, just back then, just generally.
Yeah, just in general.
It wasn't flying all
over. I saw it. I dumped it out. I took a hose to it. I don't even recall. I didn't have any thoughts about
it. Did you swing at Ray or anything?
No. Ray was 50 pounds heavier than I was. And that's how we treated each other. Also, I had one of those patent fans, the heavy duty kind of metal industrial ones in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And when I was living inside the house.
Like the dangerous ones.
The one that just fires up.
Slice your finger off.
And they just go good. You know what I mean? Not the plastic oscillating one, but the big metal case ones. Put it on high, took a 1 pound sack of flour and threw it right at the fan.
Who did?
This was either John Tyler or Jeff Katz or Ray. Whoever came into my back door, and the entire room was just, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And I was never able to fully clean all the flour out of the house, out of the room, because it would just keep settling
things. That's not bullying, and that's comedy.
And weebles.
There's weebles in your room.
Yeah, because I have flour everywhere.
These guys created your career, man. You should be thanking them. That's not bullying. That's a creative training.
Look, I've been hit by everything from beer bottles to broomsticks and all that stuff. But in the happy way, I'm trying to think of
were you hit by broomsticks in an unhappy way?
What else Ray has? I mean, look, we did everything to everyone and each other all the time. That's how it was. I mean, if those guys took if there was a piece of fruit laying on the ground. It was thrown at each other. I took my buddy Carl, was living in a guest house at somebody's place in like Valley Village. There's a big lemon tree, big weird oversized lemon tree like they have here in the valley. My favorite thing to do was just take regular firecrackers, slide it right into that lemon that had been sitting on the ground out in the sun.
Yeah, the dried out, ant-eaten.
Not dried out. gushy.
Oh yeah. Oh, smushy. Oh yeah, yeah.
Light it on fire. I lit it on. I lit the fuse. I rolled that thing right into his fucking room while he was sitting there, and it just blew up and fucking ruined the place. I mean, it was like pulp everywhere. I remember he was really pissed because he was an artist and he had some of his paintings hanging on the wall that just blew fucking pulp everywhere.
You apologized?
No.
Okay.
I had friends. We had our friend Tom convinced that he had a, you know, secret lover, you know, admirer kind of thing. We recruited girls.
You guys invented catfishing.
Yeah. And called them and recorded every
phone call. You guys are pioneers. You invented bullying and you invented catfishing.
Yeah. And as far as Ray,
perfected bullying, to be fair.
Chris shit into Ray's, not into his hand. I think he was holding a paper towel. He got a paper towel.
For your shithead move?
Yeah, but then
Ray said it was in his hand.
I know, but it wasn't a paper towel.
All right.
There are other times when there was this hand on shit. He just ran up, slapped me in the ear and neck with it at school.
And with his own shit.
Ray was a gorilla, too. I mean, it wasn't half a swipe. Oh, it was his shit or Chris's shit. It didn't matter to me.
You weren't discerning. You were like, oh, excuse me, sir.
Lots of just general pushing, shoving, and elbowing, and headlocking, and things like that.
That must have been constant.
One time they tried to drag me nude down my driveway and out to the front of the school because I lived across the street from the school.
I'm surprised it only happened once.
Well, they tried to – I've seen them strip guys like in the middle of a – open softball field, like at school, during school hours, like literally strip them so that they run with their underpants.
Interestingly, they probably never picked at guys that were really defenseless.
No.
You know, they wouldn't pick on people because that's sort of not sport at that point.
If you went to went to DuPar's or Denny's with these guys, they'd pull their dicks out and piss on your jean leg under the table. And because it's body temperature, you couldn't feel it. You're wearing socks, sneakers, and jeans. They'd have their dick out and be talking to you over the table, pissing on it until you realized what was happening. And then you'd start chucking glasses of water and ashtrays and stuff at them. We decided to all drive home from the beach or some event naked.
Well, this is a new one. I haven't heard this one.
In a car. And we got to Ventura Boulevard. It was one of those old-timey lights where never going to change unless someone pushed a button.
Yeah.
And we convinced one of our buddies to jump out of the car and go push the button.
You drove away.
Naked.
You drove
away. Of course we took off. Of course. We were standing on Ventura Boulevard naked. We had to take off. There's no – could not take off. If somebody fell asleep, they would get – or passed out at a party, they would be duct taped to the chair and cigarette butts put in their mouth. And, you know, Sharpies come out, draw the dicks on their foreheads and all that kind of stuff.
Just standard fare.
When our buddy Jack Donitz, you know, if there was a party, everyone got thrown in the pool. So Jack Donitz knew he was going to get thrown in the pool. And you could either be thrown in the pool and get you could fight Ray or us about not being getting thrown in the pool, but you get your shirt torn.
Right.
And get thrown in the pool.
Right. You're not losing. You're not
going to get thrown in the pool. You can get thrown in the pool with your shirt in one piece, or we can tear your shirt off, maybe elbow you, and then you're getting thrown in the pool. Yeah. So, you know, Jack Donitz kicked off his leather loafers, threw his wallet in his leather loafers, and threw himself in the pool. But, of course, his loafers and his wallet followed him into the pool. Because you're not kicking your loafers and wallet off before you go into the pool. You're going into the pool.
We'll take care of that.
We'll take care of that. Yes. I've seen Ray enema on a chick's head. I have seen him enema on the head of a woman who was sitting in a
Explain.
Mulholland Club. Broke into the Mulholland Club. In-ground jacuzzi. Ray filled up without anyone knowing
with
it.
With the jacuzzi jet.
Jacuzzi
How
jet.
How did you miss him doing that?
You know,
he works my miracles.
It was noisy.
People, could he have done
beer.
It? Could he have done it long before?
Sometimes people were engaged in, you know, physical behavior with one another. Either way, and by the way,
you don't mean making out; you mean wrestling.
If this was a woman, and you don't suspect that someone is putting water up their ass when they adjust their position inside the jacuzzi, do you? He then got out of the jacuzzi, and because it's an in-ground jacuzzi, I meaning it's at a club, it's in the slab.
So your head is sort of ground level. Your head
is about 6 inches above the ground.
Yeah.
Well, but when you stand up, that ass is just 3 foot over your head. That's when Ray unloaded.
Did he squat and unload? Did he fire forward?
Not a full squat, but a partial squat.
Pants down? How do you deal with the pants part? Surely people notice him pulling his drawers off.
Drawers?
Oh, everyone was naked?
Yeah, you're not in a jacuzzi in your pants.
Okay. Well, I didn't know they'd invented a bathing suit in those days.
We didn't have bathing suits.
Okay.
No one ever brought a bathing suit to go to the Mulholland Club. It was always spontaneous. We were somewhere, and then we said, let's go to the Mulholland Club. No one went, oh, let me go home and get my trunks.
So this poor girl is a newcomer to your group. She didn't understand what she was amongst, the animals.
She'd anticipated being enemaed on, but when she left the house that night.
She had a hankering for it. She didn't leave. Thinking, God, I hope those boys had shit's water on my head tonight.
My buddy Tom.
Because that's such a turn on. Such an attractive thing for a young man to do.
We were chasing my buddy Tom around the Mulholland Club. And he literally got tangled up in a lounge chair, like the spaghetti kind of lounge chairs.
Yeah,
they just have all those bands.
They don't have those anymore. No one knows what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you could put your foot through it kind of thing.
If you were to tape your ankle, that's the way they made a chair.
No. Yeah. It was my grandmother had this. It was a metal frame of a lounge chair and then 1,000 little sort of thin bands of vinyl that went around it. But it was comfortable when you laid in it, but you could put your hand through it or put your foot through it. If you stood up and put your foot through it, it would go through.
Let's put it this way.
It wasn't woven.
Those were being manufactured. I know exactly what you're talking about. And because it's around and around, if you go through it, you get caught coming back. But the point is, those were manufactured for about 3 years because they're so shitty.
Yeah.
Nothing before, nothing after. He doesn't know what Gary is what you're talking about.
No. We had these.
Yeah. Well, yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
The place I was on vacation at? Yeah, you're right.
No, I don't
think it's 3 years. Sorry.
Yeah. I just don't think you know what we're talking about.
Just
go look up lounge chair 1975. Just look it up.
Who can look up lounge chair 1975? Worst movie franchise ever.
You're thinking of the strips, Gary. This is not strips. These are like threads.
No. Like plastic tubes, like pasta. It was almost like pasta.
But small. I mean, compared to the strips that you see now, you know?
All right, look. I'm just saying.
Drew, look at him, Gary.
Fuck? Who gives a shit? It was an old lounge
chair. Anyway, go ahead. He got tangled up in it.
God. He put his foot through it, and he, like, rolled his ankle, and he got fucked up, and he got tangled up in it, and he was on the ground, and he said, we all surrounded him, and he said, you know, I'm serious. I'm hurt.
He pulled the I'm serious?
Yes.
Oh.
I hurt my
ankle. I'm serious, in the Corolla network was a meaningful.
I've hurt myself, he said.
Yeah, I'm serious.
He was a guy who won best physique. And he won best physique in my junior high and my high school. He was a black guy. He was like half black, but he was rich. It was funny. We'd go to his house and steal all his food and shit. But anyway, he got tangled up in a lounge chair. And he said, I'm hurt, and I'm serious.
So he and the lounge chair went in?
No.
No?
We peed on him.
Oh, of course.
We all just looked at each other and went, well, I think he's hurt, but rules are rules. And we've been chasing him around, and now we got to piss on him. And he was laying there on the ground writhing in pain, and everyone just peed on him. And that's the way we rolled.
So the point is, where this all started, that's not bullying. That's just the way you
roll. No one ever looked at his bullying. It never was discussed as bullying.
Interestingly, talked to Ricky Williams yesterday.
The NFL player.
Yeah.
Ex-NFL running back.
Right.
Ex-Miami
running back who had played with most of these guys that are in this controversy. What's his name? Incognito and stuff. And who left the Dolphins because they wouldn't let him smoke pot, if you remember.
Right.
Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
And his point was basically the same one you're making. It's like, if you don't like the NFL, don't go to the NFL. Don't be in the NFL. Because that's how we roll.
Listen.
This is warrior stuff. He goes, seriously, he goes, if you go into NFL locker room, you'll hear the N-word 50 times in the first 10 minutes. And I thought, wow, really? I did not.
By the way, this whole thing where it's like everyone's like, well, I don't condone bullying. I don't give a shit about bullying. I really don't. I feel like I'm glad I engage in this behavior. Stuff rolls right off me now. I don't look at anything as anything.
Desensitized you.
I could physically be assaulted by somebody and I would not have a problem with it.
Well, you were assaulted for like 5 years continuously.
5 years? I had at least 12 years of consistent physical assault by super strong physical guys who like to kind of push the envelope, as it were. I guess any time.
Did you say envelope?
Somebody shits in someone else's hand and slaps them in the side of the neck during school hours.
You said envelope.
Yes.
It reminds me. Stamps.com.
I wish it wasn't an envelope.
Stamps.com will not push your envelope because you'll be able to order stamps right there at your own computer 24/7. You never need to go to the post office again. Postage where it's convenient. Use your computer, printer, buy, print, U.S. official postage, any letter, package, or class of mail. The mailman just picks it up. Mm-hmm. If you have a special offer, use our code ADS for a no-risk trial. $110 bonus office, which includes the digital scale to weigh your package and get the exact postage you need, then print it right up on your printer. So you never are wrong. You never get it right every time. And then schedule a pickup. And you get a $55 of free postage. So you won't even be paying for the package you're waiting to send. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Go to stamps.com now. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. That is stamps.com. Promo code ADS.
Yeah, the other couple good ones. We went to Tijuana. I brought myself a sombrero. I was very happy with myself. I wore it all through the time we slept on the beach, Baja, and so on and so forth. And then one day somebody said, we're camping on the beach. I said, what's your hat doing over there, Adam? I said, how'd it get over there? I started walking toward it. It blew up. Put a fucking M80 and blew up my hat. And it had a charred like smokestack, like out of a cartoon, sticking out of it, out of the top of it.
You wore it anyway.
When I was in high school, I've told you the story. The varsity football team had something called the cage in the back. It was that kind of grill that you only see in high schools from the 30s or something, where you know the windows at my high school weren't covered with bars, but it was a weird grill. It was almost like a
yes, I know
a cyclone
about.
Fencing yeah. with thicker gauge
yes.
and smaller.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that's out here. That's Southern California. Yeah. And why they need that here, I have no idea. But anyway, yeah.
We have to put barbed wire around the freeway signs.
Yeah,
so
we're dealing with you guys,
that.
To be fair.
They had this cage that went all the way to the ceiling in the back of the locker room, and that's where the varsity football team changed. That's where our lockers were because, I don't know, the equipment was valuable or whatever it is. The door was always broken in the cage. The handle was broken. The door handle was broken. If you swung the door shut, it shut, and you couldn't get open unless you went to the front and got the needle-nose pliers or the vice grips and undid it. So every once in a while, some asshole, while someone was in the cage, would just sling the door shut, and everyone would be like, oh, fucking A, God damn it. Now someone would have to go get the – and it remained that way the whole time. No one ever fixed the handle. But we'd put Chris up on top of the lockers, and the ceiling was, 16 feet high. But the lockers were only about 7 feet high, and there were little corridors that went between the lockers. But once you were in the cage – and once Chris was on that locker, there's no place you could go in that cage that would escape his golden string. And there's nothing you could do about it. And he'd hop
just
up on that.
Running?
If you ran to the other side, he would jump from the top of one locker to the next row of lockers. It was about 6 foot apart. He could just jump to the top.
It's like the scene from Jurassic Park with the velociraptors jumping around.
Now, obviously, if you describe this scene
and if you see Chris, he sort of strangely fits that profile of like a dinosaur.
If you describe the scene of they took my son, they put him in a cage, they locked him in there, then a 210-pound guy urinated on him. As their tears would be coming out of Barbara Walters' eyes as she asked for more details. The son would be in therapy. There'd be lawsuits everywhere.
Oh, God. It was a simpler time.
Nobody looked at themselves as a victim. Nobody.
Even though you all most definitely were.
I wasn't. Your job.
You were in survival mode, to be fair.
Your job was to give it back the next time. And, oh, by the way, you want to talk? I always forgot about this one.
Uh-oh.
My buddy John Tyler lived down the street. Him and his buddy Chet would hang out. They're a couple years older than us. And they'd say to me, sometimes my buddy Chris, hey, come on over. We're going to have some sodas and watch the game or something like that. Walk down the street. I just walk from my house a couple blocks down the street. And walking down the street, get up to start walking up the front yard, look up. They're both on the roof. They had BB guns, and they were fucking open fire on us. And you just they'd get about 3-4 shots off, and then you'd start running. And that's it. I've been shot by 1,000 BB guns and peed on by 1,000 guys.
That's the title for your new book, isn't it?
Never looked at it. Never looked at it as anything other than that's what we do. And
I'm sure if you put a bunch of primates in a cage, a bunch of male primates, young male primates, they'd start flinging the shit at each other and mm-hmm. fighting and scratching and
yeah. Abusing. If you want to hear homoerotic,
I've been listening.
What we would do all fucking summer night if we had nothing to do?
Male sex.
It's close. As I told you. Tom,
homoerotic all summer night.
Tom,
the boys, we laid there.
Tom's the only guy who had. He was the only guy who had a house with a swimming pool.
Who's Tom?
In it.
Which one is he?
Tom's our black friend.
Oh yeah, yeah. The guy that hurt his ankle.
Yeah.
Okay.
But his stepdad or his whatever dad was like a hand surgeon, and they had money, and they lived up in the hills, and had a really nice house, and he had a nice house with a big pool and a diving board.
Oh, and how many people smacked their head on the bottom of that pool?
All we would do all summer night when it was hot outside is Tom, who was built like a brick shit house, but not quite as athletic as possibly I was. And then there was Ray and Chris, who were scary, strong. And the whole deal was we're probably naked the entire time.
Probably.
One guy, it was just in the middle of the night. No one had any lights on or anything.
No, of course not. You don't want to see where these things go.
You'd go out to the end of the diving board.
Naked.
And, yes, you would go to the end of the diving board, and you would get yourself in the position.
Oh, grab your ankles?
And then it was time for the other guy.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's very Romanesque.
This is
very Romanesque.
It's not Romanesque. It's Greek.
I mean Greek. Sorry. Very Greek-esque. It was time. Romans didn't do any butt fucking, huh?
Really, they did, but not with the style of the Greeks.
Yeah, okay. The Greeks. Very Greek. Then the other guy, Tom, Ray, Chris, whoever,
Came behind you.
No. You'd get to the end of the diving board. You'd feel it with your foot. You'd turn around and you'd face back in. Then the other guy would come walking out and he'd stop. And at a certain point, it was on. And whoever hit the water first was out.
So it's like log rolling.
King of the board. Log rolling. And you're fucking throwing elbows and grabbing each
phallus
other.
Phallus flying.
Nutsacks akimbo and everywhere from the. And dudes are just fucking growing at it. And you could throw the guy off the other end. And if you didn't land in the water or he hit the water first, then you got to remain on the board.
You could jump to the other side. Was that fair?
Jump to the other
side. It's too far, too big a pool.
What are you talking about?
Why jump to the other side
of the pool?
Or jump. Forget it.
Yeah, forget it. What are you talking about? Jump off the diving board and land on the far side of the pool?
No. Like if you jump to the side and you didn't go in. Like they pushed you up the board, but you were able to find your way to the side somehow.
Well,
the diving
board was 14 inches wide. And these guys were 220 pounds. But the point is if the guy hit the water first, he was back in line.
Got it.
The guy who remained got to remain or get to get back up and get there and remain. Right. You got to be king of the board until somebody knocked you off.
Got it.
I'm going to do that all night. There's fucking elbows flying and guys throwing each other around, and that's all we would do.
And the butt fucking was waiting in line.
That was while we're in line. I've barely scratched the surface. One of my greatest moment is when Ray decided he was going to piss in a mug. And
it's your greatest moment?
It was my greatest moment. And he was going to dump it on my head or something at my dad's house. And what Ray did was he filled this mug full of piss and he like set it on top of the washing
mugs.
Machine.
We had mugs in those days.
I don't know.
They always had, they had like glass. Faces on them and things. Yeah. Like weird fucking. Remember
yeah.
That?
Number one dad.
Yeah.
Ray filled it with piss. We didn't have a lot of those number one anything mugs hanging around our house, even though they were popular back in the day. So he filled this mug with piss. And I remember that one of the back door, side door of that house had a window that was like blown out. And we sort of just patched it. You know, when a window would blow out, anything but open the phone book and get somebody to come in and a glazer to come in and
right.
put a new window in. You know, it was always a piece of gray sheet metal, cardboard, with tinfoil on it. Like something had to go over the top of it, you know. And what we had was just a weird sort of sheet of perforated metal that just was over the window. Very bright day outside. At some point, Ray set his mug down of piss and ran around like outside, like looking for me. Couldn't find me. Was trying to sneak his way back into the house. I was standing in the dark laundry room, and I saw him walking up the driveway. And he took his – he couldn't see. It was so bright outside, and he was looking at this sort of screen mesh with little holes in it. So yeah. he took his hands, and he cupped them so he yeah. could block out the light, and he pressed his nose up against it to try to look into the house. You know, when you're outside
right,
and, like, a window's tinted, and it's
yes.
very light outside, and it's dark inside, and you try to put your hands, like, looking inside a dark car when it's light outside. I was standing in the dark – area, knowing he's coming up, I grabbed his cup of piss, and when he put his face up against this grill and cupped it with his hands, I flung this cup of piss as hard as I could and snapped it in his face, and he was screaming like his retinas had become detached. It was he had been blinded by his own piss, and he's screaming. My eyes are burning. They're burning. And I was laughing maniacally. It was, and I remember thinking, this is the greatest victory ever. Forget college. Forget the SATs, Drew. This is a victory.
This was the victory.
This was a huge victory. And this is all it was and all it ever was. Nonstop this. All the fucking time. And everyone was completely fine with it. Nobody sued anybody. Nobody talked to a counselor.
So your point is, when we started 30 minutes ago regaling us with high school football fantasies and Mahoma erotica, the point was that you don't consider bullying what happened with Incognito. It's just sort of standard fare for people in that environment.
No, what I'm saying is I don't know what bullying is. Bullying is in the eye of the bull holder. I was having fecal matter slapped on my face during school hours, and I didn't look at myself as a victim or being bullied.
But what's interesting is they wouldn't choose somebody who would experience it as victimization, I don't think. Or they quickly like, oh, that's so fun if somebody like is destroyed by it.
Yeah.
You know, they would I don't hear stories of them picking on people.
I didn't look at it. First off, I didn't take it personally. I would have done the same to them. But I didn't look at it
but isn't
as,
the point,
oh, my God,
but
how
I'm
dare
trying to
you.
I'm trying to make a point, which is that if you do it to somebody who experiences it as victimization, you got to choose your bully-y
yeah.
carefully.
Yeah, and you have to essentially, in a weird way, but it takes two to bully. It really does. It
takes two to bully. You got to have somebody receiving it as bullying. Otherwise, it's just sparring.
What I'm saying is, you know, oh, you go, okay, what about these young girls and these other mean girls are on the internet and they're calling her fat and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't exist if the other girl doesn't really care.
Yeah.
Or perceives herself to either be, okay, yes, I am fat.
So,
or says, I'm not fat.
But
why should I listen?
But then that's not a gratifying bullying experience for the bullier.
So
it doesn't become bullying at that point. So really, I think you're right. I think bullying has to be received as bullying.
It absolutely has to be received as bullying because otherwise it's a
but then
comment,
again,
a joke, a practical joke,
a joke,
sparring, whatever it is.
But I wonder if this guy, this kid, Turner, I think his name was, experienced it as bullying.
He did.
Well, then it is.
Well, let me tell you this, Drew. We started, let's just say for the sake of argument, 25 years ago, we started having mandatory meetings on sexual harassment in the workplace.
Yep.
Did sexual harassment in the workplace, legal challenges and lawsuits go away because we had those meetings?
Or
did they
worse.
Go up 20-fold?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
It went up 20-fold. Why? We told everyone about the dangers of sexual harassment. We told them the parameters. We told them what was sexual harassment and what wasn't sexual harassment.
Yeah.
We explained to it. We had a professional.
Yeah.
Heavy set woman of color, come in here. Wearing huge amber beads and a fade. And she came in and she told every motherfucker in this fucking building what sexual harassment was. And guess what? And told us how to avoid it and told us what to do if we were sexually harassed. And it's gone up 1,000-fold in the last 10 years.
But does that mean that we're just identifying it more?
You tell me. Now there's something called bullying, so now everyone's being bullied. And there's something called sexual harassment, and we got a lot of lawsuits. So, you tell me. More meetings on sexual harassment? More discussion of bullying? More discussion of mold? And environmental allergies, more secondhand smoke discussions. What do we need? More? Where's it heading, Drew?
Utopia.
I know where it's heading.
Where?
It's fucking heading off a fucking cliff. I'm just not stupid enough to go there with all the retards. That's all. But everything's bullying. How much has bullying come up in the last 3 years?
A lot.
And how much more bullying is there? So has the campaign worked, or does everyone just feel like a victim? Everyone feels like a victim. That's where we're at. We didn't have bullying. There was no victims. There you go. That's it. Now look, is there real bullying? Yes, there is real bullying. A lot of people have experienced real bullying. I probably experienced it. I just didn't know it. There were times when there were, you know, I was physically assaulted. My buddy Chris was sitting around some guy's fucking apartment. His buddy, just two dudes. He's sitting in a chair. One guy grabbed him like in a bear hug from behind real quick. And the other guy just took a bottle and just broke it right over the top of his head. I think that's called assault.
Did they laugh?
Chris didn't laugh. Chris.
It's the guy that he ran over, or Chris ran over him, or some guy ran over Chris. Or
Chris beat up a guy on PCH, and the guy got in his car and he ran him over. He ran Chris over. And Chris was in the hospital for about a week. But he didn't even look at you. The guy's insurance company paid him like $12,000 and his medical bills, and that was that.
He went to Hawaii.
Yeah. The guy who busted the beer bottle over Chris's head, I ran into in a bar, and I said, now I'm going to have to go outside and kick your ass. He turned out to be a huge dude, unfortunately.
What happened?
What happened was is, somehow me announcing to this large dude that we were going to step outside of this bar in the parking lot and I was going to kick his ass for what he did to my friend made him think that I must know something or must have some skill set.
Or maybe something. Had a group waiting outside to get him.
Whatever it was, he didn't want to go outside. And I didn't want to go outside once I saw the fucking size of this guy because he stood up. But that's just the way it was. And, you know, I don't
Simpler
know.
Simpler times.
I got a beer bottle broken over me. I got a bat busted over me. I didn't call the cops. I didn't think to call the cops. I didn't even think of myself as a victim. My old plan was go find the guy, hit me with the bat, and hit him. That was my only plan. I never thought about the cops. I never discussed it with the cops. I never had any thoughts about and I didn't look at myself as an assault victim. I had four guys jump on me and beat shit on me. I did not look at myself as a victim at all.
To be fair, you just had surgery on your knee.
I had surgery on my knee. I told the guy I had surgery on my knee, and he came up behind me with a baseball bat and hit me in the knee. And then they broke a bottle of me, and then they jumped on me. I never thought of myself as being a victim. I just thought,
what's with the bottles over the head? That seems like a move that's gone the way of the dodo.
Yeah. To be fair, this bottle was broken over my shoulder. It was thrown at my head, and it broke on my shoulder. But
yeah, old school.
Never looked at it. Meanwhile, now I was laughing about this morning, but you see the Red Sox won the World Series. Yes?
Yes.
See Big Poppy, MVP World Series, 240-pound dude out there wearing a snowboarding helmet and goggles so he wouldn't be injured by the champagne. These are the athletes now. you're in a locker room celebrating with champagne and everyone's wearing goggles and a helmet.
Was that just a joke?
No.
To be funny? That's for real.
Not a joke. They don't want to be injured by the flying champagne. Remember how cool it was back in the day to see the guy, he's getting interviewed by Chick Hearns or something. The guy comes up behind him and starts dumping champagne. It's going down his face and his hair is going down. Not anymore. He's got a helmet and goggles on. And the entire locker room has been covered up, has been covered in plastic. So no one's suits get any. The whole deal with spraying champagne in celebration is to get shit on your clothes. And in your hair.
Well.
Different time.
Let's go ahead and take some calls.
I wish I had that helmet and goggles when I was having shit run in my ear.
You would wear it all the time.
See,
that looks like a joke to me.
No, it's not a joke, Drew. Everyone wears goggles in the locker room. It's not a joke. They wear it to protect themselves from the flying champagne.
Wow. That's insane.
Okay. That's our society. So, are we better?
Helmet and goggles.
Mm-hmm.
Ski helmet and goggles. And ski goggles, interestingly.
There you go, everybody. All right. Where were we? Where the hell
Wouldn't it be
cooler
to wear like the aviator goggles from the turn of the century?
Too dangerous.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Let's take some phone calls, shall we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about that, though, Drew? Think about that. Sexual harassment and bullying discussion. Gone up a thousandfold in the last 10 years.
Well, I think people had an ass full of the bullying thing. I really do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, no, I do. I think
I don't think so.
I think if there's a discussion to be had, it needs to be reframed a little bit because I think people are tired of that term even.
Yeah, I don't want my kids thinking they can be bullied.
Right. And so people are beginning to see that strangely it's people that were victimized in childhood. They get victimized again later and experience everything as victimization. And those people have a point. They need their victim history treated.
Right.
And they shouldn't be bullied. They shouldn't be. It makes things worse. But I'm not sure what that is. It's
all right.
This is victimization more than bullying.
Let's hop to the phone. Dave.
Right. Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Not much, Adam. I spoke to you last week about the bulimia problem with my wife.
Oh, she's bullying herself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How old is she?
Yeah, I did get her into rehab. She went to an outpatient facility, and she ended up having she didn't like the treatment there. She went. She felt like they were being really harsh, making her eat food as part of the treatment, eat larger amounts of food, and they would sit there and wait for her to finish her meal.
Jeez, I got to get in there.
And they,
man, you've been through that program a couple times, haven't you?
She felt like she was being humiliated, and then she dropped out. And so my question to Dr. Drew is what's my next step?
Cause find a good professional. Where are you?
San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, find a professional who has a private – someone with a PhD or an MD after their name or a PsyD who has experience treating eating disorders and just get her in an individual's office. Get that going. Get that underway.
All right.
Because if she develops a trusting relationship with somebody and starts the process, then whatever the specific needs are can be organized by that person. This may have been too much too soon for her.
All right. Line 4, Scott, 32, Minnesota. What's going on?
Scott?
This is Steve from Atlanta.
All right. Oh. Steve from Atlanta, go.
All right.
Hey, Dr. Real quick, I turned on a 56-year-old lonely woman I work with to your podcast today because she was bored on the treadmill since she likes you. So you got a new listener.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Steve.
No problem. So I'm 28, girlfriend's 24. We've been together about 4 years. We lived together for about 2.5 of those years. And since we moved in, the sex drive has diminished greatly since college. And really the only time we get it on is when we're drinking and kind of drunk, and it's great when it's drunk, trust me. But otherwise, during the week from, like, you know, Sunday night to Thursday night, it's always I'm tired or the birth control doesn't make me want to do it much anymore.
All right, well, listen, hey, she's right. The birth control pill can really shut people down. Gary, find me the Goldstein episodes at the drdrew.com site. There's a couple of podcasts I did by myself with Dr. Andrew Goldstein where he goes into great detail about how profound this problem is with birth control pills causing shutdown. Women really don't want sex when they're on some of these pills, and some women more so than others, profoundly so. So, Steve, I would really urge you to get her into a gynecologist. It's episodes 12.
Seven.
Well, 12 and 39, particularly the ones I want you to listen to. It's episode 12, okay. Episode 39 at the Dr. Drew podcast at drdrew.com, where I brought in this guy as an expert in this area. And we really get into great detail about how this works and what can be done about it. And you really need to listen to it, or she needs to listen to it, because she'll feel a lot better when she does. Okay.
Oh, that conversation will go really well.
No. Just say I was listening to this. You listen to my podcast. You heard this thing. I say, hey, honey, you should listen to this.
I was hanging out with this bitch on a treadmill.
Did you write down the numbers, the podcast numbers? Was it
12 and 39?
Yeah. Right. Go get her to listen to them. And even just listen to 39. Just listen to number 39. Just get her on that one, the last one. And I think she'll really get something out of it. Okay.
All right. I'll tell you what you can get something out of. Go to meeting, baby. Ooh. Not all meetings can be planned in advance. Sometimes they happen spontaneously, like in that movie Fame, when they just started dancing out in the streets on the cab and everything. That wasn't planned. That just happened. Like Benghazi.
That wasn't planned?
No. Didn't you listen to Hillary Clinton? Somebody made a weird video, and they just spontaneously showed up with mortars and rockets.
Nice.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That's how it went down, right? That's all we need to know.
Sure.
Sure. Go to meeting, baby. You don't have time to plan things. They just happen. You want to be ready with Go to meeting. You can share the screen, and you can work together on documents, spreadsheets, projects, work in real time. Use webcams. Make your meetings in HD video conferencing. Nothing better. Start or attend a meeting. We use it here with all our sponsors. These guys are great. Go to meeting. You can use your PC. You can use your Mac, your smartphone, your tablet. Start hosting a meeting in seconds. Use your computer. Use your mobile device. You can sign up for free. 30 days free. 30-day free trial. No credit card required. Visit gotomeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam. That's gotomeeting.com. Promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. Drew.
Just Adam, not Adam and Drew? How does that work?
I don't know. Put more money in my pocket.
That's
I'd buy
right.
More
That's
sombreros.
For sure. Jesus. I'm going to blow them up.
Yeah. What do you think happened with this Benghazi thing?
I can't figure it out. There's not enough information for me to say
there
something
isn't?
Intelligent. I don't think.
You watched 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago?
Oh, I didn't see it. Was it?
Piles of information.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. Requests and requests and requests for more protection.
Yeah.
And a well-organized group of Al-Qaeda fighters showed up with mortars. Not
shocking.
Not spontaneous. Now, again, what I would say to Hillary Clinton and Obama and everyone else is stupid or liar. Are you guys really believe this is a spontaneous thing that erupted because of a video? If so, you are horrible at your job and need to be removed because this means you've ignored tons of information.
Could be deluded or stupid or liar. There could be a deluded element.
No, they're lying.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton was lying. She knew what was going on. They stuck to it weeks after all the information had come in.
Great.
And live.
All right, let's finish these calls, right. And I got to go.
And then she gets sick and can't show up on any of these Sunday morning news shows.
Shocking.
Huh.
Interesting.
But we're she's going to be elected?
Next president.
This is what we want? The liar? Fucking lied. And they knew what was going on. They had it all before. There were reports coming in as it was going down. They had the whole thing. The SEAL team, whatever, was over here. Then the consulate was attacked. And simultaneously, this was being attacked. All the stuff leading into it. They had all the begging for more security because they were planning something. Like, it was all there. This spontaneous, based on a video. It's just
bullshit.
Total bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh.
That's okay with everyone now? Is that where we're at?
Imagine if that had been Bush.
Oh, Bush lied. People died, man. All right.
He needs to be held up on charges.
Right, right.
He's a murderer.
That's right. Not Hillary. She's a saint. All right, Matt.
No, it's Kyle.
Oh, Kyle.
No, Matt. You're right. Matt.
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 Guys.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Get it on. How
Get
you doing?
Get it on, man.
Hey, got one for each of you, if you don't mind, real quick. Number one, Dr. Drew, I just had my annual physical today, and my doc said she doesn't have to give me the finger test now for my prostate now that I'm sub-50, even though I've gotten it the last 4 years. And I was wondering what you thought about that, because that kind of took me by surprise,
because
I've had cancer once before.
Of what?
Testicular.
It's very different than prostate, obviously, but
right.
There's no association of prostate cancer and testicular cancer. The issue is, do you have a family history of prostate cancer? Because if you had a family history Even the American Urological Association would say that you should be tested.
These guys know how to party.
The American College of Physicians, which is the internal medicine group, is still advocating a little more aggressive screening. Certainly, the real controversy is between 50 and 60. Most people under 50, you don't need it for the most part. After 50, I say yes. If I had not had it done, at least the ACP standards, I would have been tested by the American Urological Association. I never would have been tested, would not even have been tested to this point, and I would have metastatic prostate cancer in about a year from now. Guidelines are
aggressive
fucked.
Fingering?
Fingering and blood tests. And the guidelines are guidelines. They are not rules. And if physicians follow guidelines and not their instincts, that's it for medicine. It's over.
All right. Well, we're starting that anyway. Matt?
I know.
But Adam, I want to hear you complain about yoga pants. It's impossible.
You're right. That is impossible. I do like them. Although, women now show up. You know, I work on the job site. You know, I mean, doing a production and stuff. They're showing up in these yoga pants and stuff, and it's like I'm just staring at your ass the entire time. And I assume that's what you wanted. But please don't fault
that
everyone.
Just makes them feel sexy. What are you talking about? Why are you looking at me like that?
Yeah, it makes them feel sexy. When
Kyle,
you beat off to them.
Kyle,
23 Portland. Kyle.
Hey, Adam, Drew. You guys are the hardest working guys. I know.
Thanks,
you guys have been great role models.
I know. I got to blow out of here right now, guys. We've got
to
wrap it up.
To another job. What do you want, Kyle?
Okay. So I'm moving up to L.A., at the beginning of the year. And I was wondering if you needed some production assistance on Rohard.
You have to pay for that. You'd put money into the system for that, don't you?
I'll put you on hold. Yeah. Matt will put you in a hopper because we are looking for people to help us out with various projects we're working on.
Oh,
so you can talk to Matt.
If he contributes at the paper at the whatever, won't he automatically get it?
Over.
Oh,
you can subscribe to our show via the PayPal button. By the way, $5 a month. Good luck, man.
You're
otherwise,
underselling us.
The curse, the fucking eye. Look at the eye. $4.99, you can hear me and Dr. Drew, all three shows, Santa Barbara, Bakersfield, and Denver. Yeah.
Denver, yeah.
Yeah, and thanks so much for telling a friend. Tune in. Until next time, I'm Crow for Dr. Drew. Matt, pour some Punisher Final Lair. Saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.